All right. So we're doing some work in Ohio, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to look at some national information, then some Ohio information, and then we're going to look at our local information. We'll try to do that probably in each with slides. Sometimes we don't have the local, but we are initiating some of that. So here's some of the things we're briefly going to talk about. Ohio has this harmful algae bloom. Everybody's heard about that with Lake Erie. We actually had the worst algae bloom we've ever had in 2015. If you rate it according to 2011, with that being a 10, we had a 10.5 this year. So we had tremendous rain. Didn't make as much news because it went out into the center of the lake. Soil erosion, we're going to talk about that. Nitrogen and phosphorus reductions, how we can use cover crops to help with all these issues, increase water infiltration, improve water holding capacity, and improve our organic matter. And the big one there at the bottom is actually improve our soil structure so we lower that soil compaction. And I really think, I'll just give it away, what we're looking for is better water infiltration. And that's what the cover crops do for us, okay? And that's what we're getting at. So here's the microsystems. It's not just Lake Erie. It's all throughout Ohio. Anything in red is extremely toxic. And as you get to the lighter covers, but we have it everywhere. So something has changed. Something about 1995 through about 2000. So we're looking at things that might have changed since then. I'll show you some numbers. Here's a big thing, precipitation. This is probably the biggest issue. And if you look at this, this area here, we're looking at from 1982 through 2014 is the gray, 2005 to 2014 is the white. What we're seeing is a lot more precipitation in the fall. That's when we put a lot of our fertilizer. So we've actually looked at this over the last couple of decades. We're getting larger intensity, longer duration, and a lot more number of these high precipitation events. 2 inches is not uncommon anymore, okay? So what does that effect, does that have on sedimentation? Well, the good news is we've been doing a lot of conservation tillage. Actual, our annual sedimentation loads have been going down in the Maumee River, and you can see the suspended solids have actually been going down, okay? Annual Toledo Harbor dredging, though, is still 850,000 cubic yards. It's moved at a cost of about 5.8. So what we're seeing is because we've told our farmers, you got to be real careful with the terminology, we have told them to incorporate their phosphorus. So what do you think that means to a farmer? That means get out the plow. And that's what we're seeing. Unfortunately, I think this is going to start to go back up. We really need to tell them to inject it. And we're trying to revive that message. But unfortunately, I think the farmers kind of read between the lines, decided they're going to plow it because we were talking about phosphorus stratification. So we look at a literature review on cover crops reduction and soil erosion. It's anywhere from about 57% all the way up to 98%. A lot of those were done in the south. Here's some local that we did here at in Ohio. On the left-hand side, we have a conventional tilled field. We've measured this over 40 years. 1,500 inches of water came off this site where we had the conventional tilled. Where we had the long-term no-till, we had a total of 7 inches, and that occurred in the first 2 to 3 years until that soil started to change. And look at the difference of how much sediment that you're losing from that. So that is huge. This is from Ohio data. I've initiated this. We've initiated what we call our sharp plots. It's just a 9-acre site. We have corn, soybeans, and wheat. We have 3 different tillage. We have the blue is the conventional. We have no-till, long-term no-till, and then long-term no-till with the cover crop, and we're taking a number of different measurements on that site. We're just starting that. We have our first year in. I will tell you this year, corn was 24 bushel less where we had conventional. Again, I got to tell you a little bit about the site. It was in long-term CRP. 1 year of reducing that, and all of a sudden we're seeing soil crusting, reduced population. So that was probably our huge thing. Nitrogen reductions, I looked at 10 different grass cover studies. They averaged 58% reduction in nitrogen concentration, 62% reduction in total N loading. Is that important for harmful algae blooms? we get 100 times more nitrogen loss than we do phosphorus, and nitrogen is associated. Even though we're really concentrating on the phosphorus, the cover crops can help us with both. Range on the nitrogen concentration reductions with these studies was anywhere from 29 to 84% in the concentration. Total loading was 31 to 87%. One of the things I think we're going to have to concentrate on is the grasses, because non-legumes are about three more times more effective at legumes at reducing the N in the non-legumes, so that's grasses. Sorry, I read that wrong. Non-legumes like grasses are the best, but we've got to be careful with those brassicas. I'll show you a little bit of information on that. What did I just do? Here we go. So reductions in phosphorus, a lot of ranges in that. Probably the biggest thing that we're seeing, you can go from changes in total phosphorus losses in the runoff anywhere from 54% to 92%. But you can actually have some positive. Why would you have a positive increase in the phosphorus? A lot of it goes back to the timing that you kill it. Mother Nature does not kill all the vegetation at once. If we kill it right before a rainfall event and that starts to decompose, that phosphorus is going to be released. And that's probably the biggest thing, is the management of those cover crops. Here's some edge of field studies we're doing with Kevin King. He's got over 30 different ones. If you look at dissolved reactive phosphorus, that's the one we're concentrating on. You've got the surface. These are phosphorus concentrations. Those have the highest because we have very concentrated phosphorus in our soil surface. Somewhere in that 0 to 1 inch is very concentrated phosphorus. Tile line shows the concentration, and then the total phosphorus. Actually, our total phosphorus levels have been coming down. Our fertilizer has been coming down, but we're now seeing this dissolved reactive phosphorus, and we'll explain that in a little bit, what's going on, I think, with that. Here's a big issue. Look at some common practices. It's obvious where we're doing the tillage that we're going to get the surface runoff there, but even where this looks like no-till, but this is rotational no-till, very common. 67% of our beans are no-tilled into corn, but when we go from corn after the soybeans and go to corn, everybody's tilling that up, and that's creating a hard pan about 3 to 4 inches deep, and that's causing a lot of the problems with that dissolved reactive phosphorus. Just to show you some dynamics with infiltration, you plow it, cultivate it bare surface, 0.6 water infiltration rate after 1 hour. This is inches per hour, 0.26. No-till is not really any better unless you have the residue to slow that water up. It goes from 0.11, 0.46, all the way up to 1.04. So you got to have the residue and you got to have the no-till together. And the longer that is, that will help to increase our infiltration. So that's huge. This just shows what is very common. This is a Hoytville soil. We have on the left no-till soybeans and strip-till corn, and you can see that most of the water, same event, and only a 3/4 inch of water, and look at how much water is standing on that soil, just because we've got those compacted zones there. Guys are going in when it's too wet, doing this vertical tillage, only going down 2 to 3 inches, very quick, very fast, but they're creating a hard pan. We're finding this new hard pan there, and this is where it's occurring. So you can see where our typical hard pan is, 7, 8, 9 inches down. At 1.8, the roots cannot penetrate. The water can't get through there. Now we're getting this new one. We're starting to, don't have any numbers on it, but you can, when we go to start to penetrate that soil, we can find different layers now of compaction. So we're trying to gather information on our research study on that right now. Just got to talk about this briefly. Soil organic matter and available water capacity. If we can increase our soil organic matter, we can store more water. We can give it time to be treated. So this is old information, but I use it all the time because it shows how much with sand, silt, and clay, we can store anywhere from 1 to 2 acres, inches of additional water. Again, as you add more organic matter, of course, that relationship goes down. It's only about a 0.5 to 0.8. So at 2.5 divided by 5, that's a half acre inch. 4 divided by 5 is about 0.8, but it's still very effective. 4 acre inches of more water. This is the big thing that we're seeing. That water flashiness is just huge in Northwest Ohio. We have water that goes up and goes down in our ditches so fast. The faster it moves in that ditch, How many more nutrients? Well, if I double it, it's an exponential, goes up 64 times more. We have water in our ditches now that are moving 16 to 32 mile per hour. That's 512 to 1,000 times more nutrients that are being lost. I like to use that with our farmers. It makes a difference. Last thing I'm going to talk about is some of our research that we're doing locally on subsoiling. We have conventional and no-till research that's been going on for 20 years at this site. Conventional till, if you've got a corn yield gain and you use a subsoil, you'll get 1 to 3 bushel increase, about a 3%. With soybean yield gain, anywhere from 2 to 5. What happens if I do that in the long-term no-till? You get the exact opposite. It actually goes down. So once you get this no-till set up, you want to keep it, because what we're doing, we're moving that water from a macropore to a micropore to a biopore. And by doing that, we're saving some of these nutrients, but we're also letting that soil, we're improving that soil structure, and that's what we're trying to do. It's all about this soil structure and water infiltration. Subsoiling with cover crops, what can a subsoiler do? Immediate change in soil structure, 18 inches deep. It will increase your infiltration short term, but you about have to do it every single year, but it leaves that soil susceptible to compaction later. Within that first year that you run back over it, you lose 85% of your benefits from that. So that first pass with that tillage or with your combine or your tractor, you're gonna lose it all. And I've got pictures that show that. It's really amazing how much compaction you can have. If you have a long-term no-till, you don't have that compaction. We don't have to be ripping it up. What can the cover crops do? Slow change in soil structure, 3 feet or deeper. That's the key thing. It takes a little bit of time. It will increase the infiltration rate over time, protects that soil from erosion, but you're adding nutrients and organic matter. You're tying them up. You're filling in, it fits into a very continuous no-till system, and it helps protect against that soil compaction. Those are the big things. Here's the things that we're really trying to promote with our farmers. Starting at the BOP, most of our guys are probably doing the bottom 4 or 5. Subsoiling, deep ripped, fall surface tillage, that's the least resistance to compaction. Moldboard plowing, subsoiling. Once you start getting into intermittent and no-till, so that's that rotational no-till, your soil starts to get a little firmer. Continuous no-till with light residue, not going to get very good infiltration. But now continuous no-till, heavy residue, no cover crop, add that cover crop, that's even better. Now we're trying to get our guys to do continuous no-till, controlled traffic, and the cover crop. To us, that's the ultimate goal. And we're seeing a lot of this, believe it or not, in Australia. Australia probably leads the world in the amount of controlled traffic. So how do you do that? You get all your implements. You start kind of with your planter and your combine. You get them all sized up, and then you make your wheels run down the same plots. They did this in Australia. Very long fields. I just came back from Australia. It was in a small field. 4,800 acres was one field. Okay, tremendously big. The guy turned around in the middle, and they have seen that change for the last 10 years where the guy turned around in the field. Now, how many of our guys are paying that much attention? We got to stay off our soils and respect them. Summary of the cover crop environmental solutions. They help with reducing soil erosion. They increase nutrient uptake and retention. They improve our phosphorus efficiency. They're going to increase our water infiltration. That's our biggest thing. They improve that water holding capacity. They're going to increase the organic matter. We've lost 50% of our organic matter from our soils. That's really important. So they're reducing that soil compaction, and they're improving that soil structure. And that's what we're looking at. We're trying to measure all these things. It's very difficult, but I think if we could just get our guys to stay on that path, we would see a lot of these problems really go down. We have one more talk or two more talks we're doing this afternoon. We're talking about possible causes, and we're going to be talking about possible solutions after lunch. And we'll go into a little bit more detail on a couple of the things that we're doing. So thank you. Unfortunately, Randall Reeder just retired. Randall worked on that. We have long-term research plots at Hoytville that have been going on for at least 20 years, and we're trying to keep those maintained, but we have to hire a few more new people. And Randall still, I don't think the guy retired. He just got busier, and he is still helping with that, but we really need somebody to help take that over. Unfortunately, I am a county person. I mean, I can help with that, but I do a lot of time talking about soil health, and it takes a lot of work to do all that. So, other questions? All right, thank you.
Strip-till,
yes.
You rank strip-till relative to mow, I thought. And
yes.
Is this compaction? Is that because just the knife effect is really the effect of the zone?
If I had my way, it'd be just strictly no-till. Matter of fact, I would like to actually redesign our planters. I mean, it's a radical idea, I realize, but I would like to see them put each individual seed down, poke a hole somehow, and just put it down, because anytime you slice that soil, you're getting compacted. We're getting sidewall compaction, and if I go 6 inches, I can find a compacted layer under there, because most of the time the soil, if it's just a little bit wet, it will smear it, and then it has a hard time. I've seen this with our strip till. We've gone out with farmers, and they'll make a couple passes, and they'll say, why is this corn better than that? Be this much taller where we didn't strip till, or where we didn't do the vertical tillage, and then we start finding these gaps, and so we find out that seed corn, we've got it down about there. They're putting it in about 2 inches. It's right there. It's sprouted, but it has nowhere to go because there's enough compaction there, and it's struggling to make it. And that's what we're finding on our clay soils. We're finding that over and over again. That
you're not talking an 8-inch strip. You're talking a shallow
strip. Yeah, a very shallow strip. I'm of the opinion that any tillage is not what I want to see. That's my opinion. And that's what we're trying to work for. We're trying to get back to that. I realize that's very difficult. You've got to be practical. But the more we can, that's why we rank those, the higher you can get up to the top, the better your results were long term. That's what we're finding.
Great. Thank you, James.
Yep.